Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, here we go.
I love that song.
You and SoCal.
So tonight, we're getting through the book of Revelations. Got like two chapters left, and I'm leaving in 2 weeks. So, crazy. You want to come? Oh, you're already there. No. We did that. Perfect place. No, the pastor's retreat. Me and Pastor Keith are heading up to the place where I faced the snake. Things going down. Turn in your Bibles. Yeah. Revelations. Yeah. You can edit. Revelation. Hi, Myra. Hi, Steve. And whoever else tonight. Benincia. Yeah. Kelly. Revelations chapter 20. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those wonderful songs that remind us that, yes, you are coming in the Maranatha of our lips to just come, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And we look, and this becomes our hope, our anchor of hope within our lives, the coming of Christ as he returns. Bless this portion tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so was last week, did we do the marriage supper of the Lamb, or was that 2 weeks? Huh? 2 weeks ago?
That was 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, this is, because then we did judging of the nations, I think, yeah, last week. So right after that event of the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelations 19, verse 11, John writes, and remember how it was explained to him in the beginning, what you see, you write. You know, people try to make Revelation so mystical without reading the book. You know, it's part of the Bible, and the mysteries are available for us to know these things. So we don't want to guess at them, because a lot of people do, and I just think that causes many problems. It causes a lot of confusion, and like only the spiritual can see into this, and it's just not true. So in verse 11, he says, I saw heaven open, and I seen behold, a white horse. Now, this is not to be confused with Revelation 6 when we talked about the Antichrist and the counterfeit. Antichrist is going to try to counterfeit everything that Christ does. So he comes on a white horse too. But this one is plain and clear that it's the Lord Jesus Christ, because he sat on this and he is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he does judge and make war. So this is not about grace no more. It's not about salvation. This is going to be a time of judgment and a time of war. And Jesus Christ is going to be at the forefront. And his eyes, I just want to read a couple of verses here. His and you know what? Later on tonight, tomorrow, I mean, matter of fact, even the rest of the week, read from Revelations 19:11 to verse 18. I mean, it's amazing. And just keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and in his hand were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew. Men do not know that name. He says, but he himself, and look at 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, his own blood, his own blood. This is how he'll come. And because he shed his blood for the entire world. And this is how he's going to come. And his name will be called the Word of God. And that's amazing. And that's how we'll know him. And that's how the world will know him. Now, a couple things, and then I'll add to this. In 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. If you remember the marriage supper of the Lamb in verse 7 and 8 of this same chapter, Revelations 19, 7 and 8, it says the church is getting ready for the groom, and she will adorn herself in this same type of attire. So we think this is the church. This is the bride of Christ that's going to be coming with him. And then in 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And remember, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So what's going to be coming out is the word of God. If you notice here, look at it, says it. He says, and he shall smite the nations. He shall rule over them with a rod of iron. And he'll tread the winepress fierceness, the wrath of the Almighty God. So he's not coming with weapons. He's not coming with swords, any of that. He's coming with the word. Because the word of God will judge people. The word of God is going to judge nations. And that's amazing. And it's going to come right out of the mouth of God, because he is the word of God. So that's our King of Kings, and that's our Lord of Lords. That's going to be the name that's going to be written across his thigh, across his legs. And so that's how Christ comes, with the church. It says we are a great army, but we're not fighting anything. It's going to be all the word of God. That word will judge. So in 20, then I just want to pick it up, because that's where we're at now. And this is called the millennium reign. The millennium reign. The word means a thousand-year reign. This is a thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. And just like the rapture, where we had pre-rapture or pre-trib, meaning before the tribulation, mid-trib, in the middle of the tribulation, or post-trib at the end of the tribulation. This is the argument among believers of when the tribulation period is going to come. Is it going to come in the middle after 3.5 years? Because the total is only 7 years. We have already covered that. Is it going to come at the end of the tribulation? We as Greater Grace, and many support that, we believe that he's coming at the beginning. The church will not go through the tribulation period. And we gave you verses on top of verses this entire book for you to look at and study for yourself. But with that being said, the millennium is the same. They've got three, too. They've got They got a post-millennium, which means Christ is going to come after the thousand years. There is a amillennialist. That means they don't believe in a millennium at all, and we'll tell you why. And then there is the pre-millennium, which we take the stand where Christ will usher in the millennium reign. There is no millennium, and I'll show that to you, without Christ coming, which he has just, we just told him he came. We just showed you that, first of all. So it's, I mean, for that, you know, here's what's going on with this millennium. We believe that we take chapter 20 for face value. What it says in this chapter, we believe that. As we have through the entire book of Revelations and through the entire book of the Bible, we apply it literally unless the word of God says differently. I just think that's the way, you know, and to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us is the only way to go through this content. Okay? So unless the Bible instructs us differently, we're going to believe what it says here. So post-millennium, let's start there. Post-millennium was very, very favorable in the early 20th century. And it took on great value, and a lot of people really believed it. And what their belief is Christ isn't going to usher in the millennium. People are. The church is going to, through evangelists, through evangelizing the gospel. And people are going to get saved all over, and all of a sudden we're in a utopia because everybody's getting saved. That's their viewpoint. And it was very strong in the early 19th century because, you know, thousands were coming to Christ and everything else. But then something happened. We've had since that, you know, in the middle of it, we've had two world wars. We've had a complete breakdown of global, you know, global disasters. We've had nuclear bombs. We had, you know, atomic bombs. We had the ushering of communism. And so this group really fell off the planet a little bit. And they wouldn't admit it. They just said, we've had a mistake. So they would never, if you're far post, you're not going to go all the way to the other end of the spectrum and say, now I'm pre. So the best thing for them to do was just to land in the middle. And that's what they did. And they became amillennialists. A means no in the Greek. So they don't believe in a millennium. They believe what we're going to read here is all spiritual. And it's not real. You can't count it as face value. So the problem with that is, you know, they believe the second coming. And they believe a lot of this that we've just talked about, including the seven bowls, the seven seals, and the seven trumps, that's all a spiritual thing. It never happened. But this is pretty clear how this talks about. So we believe that it's 1,000 years, and Christ comes at the beginning. He ushers it in based on what we just read in verse 19. So in chapter 20, the first seven verses, this word is mentioned 6 times. That's a pretty strong indication that it's happening, you know, that it's an actual event that's taken place, that it's not a spiritual thing. So the early church also gave very... It used the word chileicism. Have you heard of that? It means the same thing as millennium, but that's the word that they use. It's a Greek word, and that was used often in the early writings outside of the Bible. So, because that's what they looked for, and that's what they taught, and that's what they spoke about. So, four things will happen before this millennium period. Four things have to happen. Number one, Satan has to be bound. Okay? And that's important. He must be removed. And he will be removed for 1,000-year period. And when he is removed, also with that, number two, the curse of sin will be removed also. Because Satan's the god of this world. All of that is controlled by him. So we get the scripture, you know, where it says in this period of time that the desert will blossom like a rose. You know, how is that going to happen when there is sin and all this in the world? So Satan is bound. The curse of sin is also taken care of and taken bound. And think about that, just those two events. If Satan is bound, then darkness is removed. Darkness must be, and light becomes just stronger. The light of the gospel becomes stronger, and that's why, you know, at that period of time, we're living in a perfect utopia, basically, right? Is that the right word? Is that probably okay? So we have verses on this. Verse 2, it says, an angel came. He had the key. In verse 1, he had the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So you'll see this 1,000 years all six different times all the way through verse 7. And that's where the millennium means. So he's cast into the bottomless pit, and they shut him up, and they sealed upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And then after that, he's going to be loose. And we're going to cover that. And you know, you think about this a little bit. So, okay, so also the other two things is we're going to see the resurrection. Now remember, we've come with Christ, and then you're going to have the resurrection of the Old Testament saints, and you're going to have all those that got saved during the Great Tribulation period. Those are the ones that are going to be entering in. So those things have to happen before this millennium reign is taking place. And the millennium reign is going to be a final testing. It will be a test, because you're going to live in a perfect condition the same way Adam and Eve did, who fell. So it will be a final test before the eternal estate, so to speak. 1,000 years. Okay? So why the millennium? And let's go into questions, because we have... No, I mean, I'm going to ask the questions again. I'm going to answer myself, then you can ask. You know, so why, you know, the millennium? Why a 1,000-year reign? And the, you know, again, and a lot of these are, you know, those questions, a lot of them aren't answered, but I just think it's, you know, the prayer where, you know, thy kingdom come. And that's what that is. That's what this whole thing is his kingdom is coming. His kingdom will be here. They thought it was going to be with Christ, but he had to come and pay for sins. Now it's really going to take place here. By the way, the bottomless pit is not the lake of fire. That bottomless pit was just a holding cell, holding place, until later on when we get to, I think, verse 7 or 8, it will talk about the lake of fire when he'll be thrown in there, and he will then join the Antichrist and the, false prophet. Yep. Okay. Look at verse. I'm going to go through a couple of verses here and take a look at these. Verse 4, he says, "And I saw thrones that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ." That was that period, you know, through the Great Tribulation period, the saints were beheaded, and the Word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither the image, neither received the mark upon their forehead, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So those are those that went through the Great Tribulation period, and think about that, martyred. Many lost their heads. If you were to take the beast, if you were to do, you know, if you would reject, then you would be beheaded. You're going to be beheaded during this time. And, you know, think about it. So what they're doing is they're like sacrificing 3.5 years, because this is the second half of the 7-year period. So they're sacrificing 3.5 years of their life and going to be rewarded with 1,000 years. That's how I look at that. Okay. Huh? Good? Okay. So, yeah. So why? Look at this one. Let's answer this question. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of prison. Why? Right? I mean, why? You got him. But you know, Lewis Perry Schaefer wrote it this way, and I'm going to read it. He says, why was he able to do what he did in the first place? You know, you want to question that, but why was he able to do that? Why was he free? You know, and J. Vernon McGee, which, you know, I was taught under him when I first got saved. And he puts it this way. It's just that, you know, God has a plan. And some things are a mystery. And when things are a mystery, we just need to learn to walk by faith. Some things we don't, you know, we just walk by faith and trust God in it. And that's what, you know, we don't know why. But God's plan is he's just going to take them from one place and pop them in another. But there's also another reason, and we'll get to this in a minute. So this millennium period, you know, is a time of testing. That's what it's going to be. But the testing is going to be under ideal conditions. It's going to be prosperity. There's going to be population over. I mean, everything's going to be prospering. Everything is going to be, you know, there's going to be no sin. There's going to be no worry or fear, none of that. There's no disease. You know, there's no sickness. There's going to be elimination of all of that during these periods. There's going to be a abundance of resources, abundance of food. There's going to be, you know, no homeless. None of that will take place during this time. No sin, no curse. And then Satan will be released. And even under that ideal conditions of serving God, knowing God set that up, and Satan's going to come back with darkness, and they're going to turn to Satan. Even after 1,000 years. Even after 1,000. And why? Because the heart of man is wicked. Our hearts, we are sinners. And the nature is still with men. And once they're influenced by darkness from the God of this world, because he still has that authority until he's in the lake of fire, they will still turn to that. And that's, you know, that's how I see this. And it's really incredible. And maybe that's the reason why he's loose, because there'll still be some that will not bow, but there will be still many during even that time. Remember, during that 1,000 years, the original people will have children, and they have their own free volition too. Man has their own free volition to choose. This will be a big, huge population too. Great conditions all the way. So they'll... it just reveals the heart. And, you know, it's like even now. We talk to people, and as long as God's blessing them, they're great and fine. And as soon as they go through a little hardship and struggle, you know, it's like, really? You know, and again, this is why I think we need the Word of God often. We need to hear. Faith comes by hearing. And this is all going to be about faith. This is all going to be about faith and trusting God. You know, trusting Christ in the whole situation. One last thing I wanted to cover. Verse 8. So, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed. Right? And he's going to go and deceive the nations. Hi, George. He's going to go and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. And then it says Gog and Magog together, them together in battle, the number of whom is like the sand of the sea. And you can read about Gog and Magog. I'm not going to go through it or point verses, but it's in Ezekiel 38, and I think 38 and 39, both of those chapters. But what it represents, see, right now, as it stands now, Because in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it talks about the country from the north, straight up from, which is Russia on the map today. It doesn't mean this is going to be Russia. We, you know, you can point to it and say it, but, you know, in 30, 40 years, if Christ don't come, I mean, that can change. You know, countries are changing all the time. But as it stands now and it has how it's been, it is directly north of Jerusalem is Russia. And what it really means, I don't think it's a specific place of how I see it. It could be. And a lot of people say it is and claim it to be. And I get that. I understand that. But really, in Ezekiel, it says it's going to be more of an attack from the nations. You know, so it says nations, and, you know, and they use Gog and Magog of that. So many times when you hear prophecy and teaching like that, you're going to see Gog and Magog as being Russia. You know, but again, I just think it's an attempt. It's not going to never happen. It's going to be a attempt attack. And if you look at how big and how great and powerful Russia is compared to little teeny Israel, you would say, boy, this isn't going to be a battle at all. But it's only going to be an attempt, because Jesus Christ, through the word of God that comes out of his mouth, it's over. Just like that. Amazing. Amazing. So those who believe that God does not have a plan with Israel, or that Israel's the church, they haven't read Ezekiel 38 or 39 at all. I mean, because it's right there and it's right here. And the attack, you know, if Israel's the church, why would the church be physically attacked? It just doesn't make sense. So that, you know, that post or that amillennialist, I just don't see it. I think this is literal. And I think the whole Bible is literal. And that's how we're going to preach it here. We're not going to make up things to try to fit a spiritual sense, you know, unless, you know, and remember, though, I understand the point, because these words are spirit. But how I interpret that is the word of God is spiritual, and it's going to speak to your spirit man or woman within you. If you're born again, you're going to hear from the Spirit. And, you know, just like even last night, what we were talking about in the rehab, you know, listen, we can come up here and give a message and you can be excited about it. You know, on Sundays, I mean, it's been fun the last, you know, month. I mean, people are getting excited over the Word of God, and we love to see that. But you don't just take it from the pastor or from Pastor Keith or me. The key of allowing the word to get into your heart is, number one, in Hebrews 4:2, you mix faith with what you hear. Very important. If you don't mix faith with what you're hearing, then that pastor can be familiar or common. And it's not me. It's the Spirit of God. And then number two, What I like to say is to take notes or go back and listen to the recordings, whatever, and then meditate on what you heard and allow the Holy Spirit to branch you in even into greater teaching. This is how we grow. This is growing in grace. This is maturing in love. And this is fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So, okay. So that's it. That's about it tonight for the millennium ring. Next week, yeah, the great white throne judgment. Next week, great white throne judgment. We're here next week? The week after, we're not? Okay. All right, so Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God, for your Word, for speaking to us, to opening this up. Hopefully, this was brought to us in a way that it is comprehensible, understandable. Also, though, with great vision for the lost, and how you speak to us so clearly through the book, You speak to us clearly through your word. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Bless the offering tonight and this, I guess, mini wrap in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor.
Yes.
Well, we're not going to be very close to the church.
Huh? Yeah, it's in 2 weeks. We'll announce it next week. We announce it now. They won't come next week.
Yeah.